is the Video Film Podcast.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm okay. You?
I'm all
right. Right on.
It's an all David Fincher podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We got two movies he made back to back. 2010's The Social Network, directed by David Fincher. And 2011's The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, also directed by David Fincher.
All right. Good intro.
Good intro. This is what I call the adaptation period of David Fincher, where it seems like he used books and things like that a lot more than he did with The Game and Seven, and I guess Alien 3.
Sure. Yeah.
These movies are interesting. I find them kind of similar in a certain way. I don't know how, because I can't explain it, but they seem to have marked a departure from things like Fight Club.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to have, settled down or tried to get even more, exacting than he did with those movies, starting, I think, really with Panic Room.
I see.
What do you think about these movies? These are a couple movies, sort of, I guess you would say, mid-career now.
Yeah. I don't know. I enjoy them.
Do you think he changed as a filmmaker greatly from, let's say, the first few movies to this point?
I really don't know, man. Why don't you tell me?
I don't know. I feel like you can see distinct periods. Like, he doesn't seem to be having as much fun as he did up until Panic Room.
Okay.
It seems like with these movies, especially, and Gone Girl, he seems to be really trying to get everything perfect. And with, I think it really works with The Social Network because of how the only thing that happens is guys talk in rooms. So you go from one room and there's a bunch of guys talking, and another room and there's a bunch of guys talking, but he's got to make it so you want to see it for 2 hours.
Okay.
So he makes everything really kind of perfect and makes you want to look at the characters, and the lighting is great, and all the dialogue by Aaron Sorkin is amazing, so you're drawn in. And then I find in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, it doesn't work that well.
Okay, why is that?
It just seems kind of like everything is too perfect. I don't understand why, if you're going to remake a film that had been made 2 years before, you don't change more. Like, just making it take place in Sweden seems weird to me when nobody seems to be doing anything or acting especially Swedish, I guess. Like, it would have been like, why don't you just make it and set it in Canada? Mm-hmm. We have snow. It's cold here. We have islands.
Sure.
It seems like a strange thing to do another adaptation of the same book within 2 years and make it so similar in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched the first half hour, 45 minutes of the Swedish film, and it seems like it's more of a, it doesn't have as much of a coldness to it. This one seems very sort of removed and sort of sanitary. And the other one seems a lot more like you feel for the characters a lot more. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's a better portrayal of the two lead characters. I'm not sure. How do you feel about this, this girl with the dragon tattoo?
How do I feel about it?
What do you enjoy about it?
It's an interesting story. Kind of a whodunit. Those are always fun to watch.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure it out. I guess the main character is a little bit different than what we're used to seeing for a detective. I don't know. That's about it.
What about the Lisbeth Salander character?
What do you think about the Lisbeth Salander character?
I think she was done better in the Swedish film. She
Why is
didn't
that?
seem in this film, she's kind of like a superhero. You never really think that there's anything she can't handle or get herself out of. She's always the smartest person. She seems to be the toughest person usually. And I got more of a sense of in the Swedish version, she was somebody who was very scared.
Okay.
And she was sort of hiding behind all the makeup and stuff. And in this one, it's more like a superhero costume.
Okay, what else do you like about it?
I mean, the movie's well made, but it doesn't, it's just a movie that doesn't really have a spark for me.
Okay.
I don't know.
What's well
It's,
made about it?
I guess David Fincher's films are all well lit. They all look like he's got exactly the scene that he wants, the production design that he wants. They're always really well acted. But in this movie, it just seems like it's all not really coming together to make something bigger than the sum of its parts.
Okay.
Well, what else? What else can we talk about this movie? The
What do you
main
th
character. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Nope. You go.
The main characters don't meet until 66 minutes into the movie, almost half the movie. Did you feel like that added or subtracted from the movie?
I guess it didn't do anything for me. How did it make you feel?
When I read it, I couldn't believe that it was 66 minutes into the movie when they meet. But also you feel like there's sort of two different stories going on, and it gives you a good idea of Lisbeth Salander's story and how she's obviously being sort of kept by her guardians, and there's a terrible guy that she takes revenge on. But when I realized that, and then I watched the Swedish version, they don't really meet earlier, but they're in scenes like she's kind of following him and doing her report on him. And I sort of realized that maybe that was what was missing from David Fincher's movie, is that it seemed like they needed to have more of a connection. Because I don't know, within like what, the first day they have sex or something like that. Like really quickly, they're kind of thrown together as the heroes of the movie after an hour of them being apart. All right. What else do you have to add to the
Nothing.
nothing? Did you see it as being having a little bit of a, I guess, a similarity to some of the things in Seven?
I guess the lighting, maybe. I don't know. What did you think?
I thought it was more the plot.
Okay.
Like with the serial killings, and they were all, even though they only talked about them, they were, it was like you're seeing a report of, the kind of things that happened in Seven from 60 years after. Like all the women that were posed in certain ways and sort of decapitated and they're, all these awful things that were done to them, but you're hearing about it and you're seeing it in pictures like 60 years later. And then it's leading up to obviously the realizations of the murders that are happening in this movie. But it's interesting to see that sort of parallel with there was this group of murders that were done all for this specific purpose, and you're not really sure why. The same as Seven.
What was the purpose?
I think this guy was like a religious fanatic or something like that, and he's like a religious fanatic serial killer. The missing woman's father, I think it was. He killed like a bunch of women in Sweden in the 1940s and 50s and 60s. And he did it in all these awful ways, based on Bible quotes. I thought that was interesting. What else? Nothing.
No, I don't have anything. I already said I don't have anything.
Okay. What about the other movie? What would you like to talk about with that?
No, you go ahead.
You've never been on Facebook, or you don't have a Facebook account, right?
Right.
If you watch the movie and you don't have a Facebook account, do you think that if you're not, if, or if, okay, let's say you don't care about Facebook. Do you think that changes the movie? Like, do you think that you would be more or less invested if you were part of the, I don't know, whatever trillion-dollar company that's Facebook?
I don't know. That's tough. That's I don't know because I don't care. So I don't know how I could know what it would be like to be on the other side of that. But I don't think this movie's about Facebook. It's about a guy stumbling into a new idea that makes him $1 billion, and then how he fucks over all the people along the way. So that's what it's more about to me than really about Facebook. Well, you got to tell me.
So how does he fuck over the people? Like in like how do you interpret, because there's obviously in the movie there's two different sides, the Mark Zuckerberg side and I guess the everybody else side.
Well, who sees it from Mark Zuckerberg's side?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh. Okay.
So there, pretty much everybody in his Facebook startup, everyone who started Facebook is suing him, right? And he's defending himself. And the movie goes back and forth between the depositions and the dawn of Facebook. And you have to not so much decide who's right and who's wrong, I guess, but what it means that he has the idea for Facebook, but everyone else contributed to it and just didn't have the vision. Does that, like, in your mind, how do you see that as somebody who, you made computer programs, right? Would you, if somebody if you showed somebody a computer program and they took it and made something really profitable, would you be angry about that you didn't have the vision, or would you applaud them? What do you think?
If somebody stole my idea.
So let's take the situation in the movie where the Winklevoss guys and the other guy come up and ask him to help build their social networking thing. And he agrees to do it, but then he goes off and using that idea, he builds Facebook. So they sue him, obviously. They probably got a lot of money. If you were in the situation that they're in, would you would have done the same thing?
Sued him?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you think he stole the idea?
Yeah. I still don't see. So you said there was two sides to it. And then I said, who's viewing it from the other side? And you said Mark Zuckerberg, he's the only one. So I don't still don't see what the conversation is here.
Well, he could be right, I suppose, is that these guys, nobody else actually created anything. He's the only one who created something. All of the rest of them had ideas, or they were part of helping him or whatever, but they never actually created anything.
But they hired him to create it. So they had the idea.
Right.
They hired him to create it.
Yes.
He stole their idea and then went and made it on his own and s slowed them down by dragging them along. So I just don't see who could ever see that he's in the right. I don't see how you could say anybody else could see that he's in the right, other than him, like you said.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, I think in his mind, he's like, well, why didn't they just create it? Why would I give them money? They didn't create anything.
But they did. They had an idea of what they wanted to do. They
Yeah.
went out and hired people to do the coding for them because they couldn't do that part themselves. So are you saying you can only do it if you can build every single aspect of it yourself? You're not allowed to hire other people?
No, that's what I'm asking. Is if you hire somebody and they take your idea and they make something not exactly different but not exactly the same and better, I mean I'm on their side. I'm just asking you as a person who does this kind of thing. You have more familiarity with computer stuff than I do. I'm just asking.
What are you asking? I still don't
No,
know.
I was you answered that you think it was stealing, and I'm fine. That's a good answer.
Okay.
What do you think of Napster? Do you think
It
that
was
was Do you think that was stealing?
yeah, of course it was.
Do you think it was, do you think Napster ruined the music business? Or do you think Napster was something that helped people see that music shouldn't be
What do
this
you think?
one thing that was paid? No, I'm asking you.
Okay. I don't know how it impacted the music business. I think there's just as many artists today as there was back then. So I really don't know how it changed music or whatever, but it made it easier to not pay for the music. It made it easier to share it across the internet.
Yeah.
So the gray area is that you say I'm not the one actually stealing the music. I've just created a tool that all these other people are going to use to steal it. So the real question is whether it's wrong to create the tool that allows
Right.
people to steal it.
And
Well, what do you think?
no, what? No, that's interesting. What do you think? What do you think of that? Do you think it's wrong for them to create the tool?
Yeah, it's too easy to get out of that. It's too easy to hide behind saying, look, I'm not the one actually doing the stealing if you're profiting from it. And I don't even know how Napster profited from that. I don't know. Was there ads in Napster? Was he selling advertising space to use the product? I
I'm
really
not
don't know.
sure. I think it was a lot like the start of Facebook, where they wanted to make it. I saw the documentary on Napster, and I might have read a book. I can't remember. I think it was about Napster and the music business and stuff, but I don't think they were making money yet. I think they were trying to make it bigger and better first, like they were in the social network with Facebook. And people kept giving them like hundreds of millions of dollars for this. And then eventually it just got too much with the lawsuits and everything, and they had to shut it down. But I don't think they'd even monetized it at the point that it was shut down.
Okay.
But it
So
could have been like they were like they so sorry, they would go to the record companies and be like, hey, we can partner with you on this. Well, just we'll work something out where it's 10 cents a song or there's a user fee or whatever, like Spotify. And the record companies were like, no, we're gonna keep CDs. That obviously didn't work that well.
So what are we talking about?
No, I think it's interesting debate of whether or not the tool is the thing or if it's the people using it. But I think you're right. I think it's the tool.
Well, I still don't know how he was making any money. So if he just made a tool and then gave it away for free, I don't fault him. He just made a tool and then gave it away for free. But you're saying people gave him millions of dollars.
So I think they were constantly developing it, right? So they would keep growing the Napster platform and getting more users and getting more traffic, and the computer stuff better than I do, but putting the supports in place for it to run faster and whatever, right? To expand larger. And they kept trying to monetize it by going to the record companies, but they kept saying, no, you're stealing from us. And then eventually they just got sort of sued into oblivion.
Okay.
So it was sort of like Facebook if Mark Zuckerberg didn't prevail, like if the other guys basically sued him into shutting it down.
Well, how is Facebook stealing from anyone? Oh, you mean the people that he stole the idea from? But Napster was allowing the constant, it was its only purpose was to allow the constant trading of copyrighted material.
I'm talking more of in a business sense, like the business of Facebook eventually monetized, but Napster didn't get to monetize itself.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Right, I think it's the tool. If you look at guns, if people make guns, you can't fully blame just the people who use them. Guns are cool. If people stopped making guns, we wouldn't have guns. If people didn't make Napster, you wouldn't have Napster. You
Okay.
might, but what then? What do you? So what do you do? Like, so let's say you're Sean Parker and you're developing Napster. And you realize you developed this tool before you put it out. What do you think you would do with that personally?
If I developed the two, if I made up Napster, which allowed people to
Yeah,
share music.
but you hadn't put it out yet.
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, because I guess what do you either have to sell it or you have to do nothing with it. I guess, right? You have to partner with the record companies or sell it to a reputable company, or you can't use it. And then it's kind of a strange thing, right? You develop something awesome and it's worthless.
Well, it's only awesome if a lot of people are using it. So if it's just a tool that it has no users, there's no value to it at all.
Yeah. I suppose, yeah.
So you can't sell just an idea. You can't just say, hey, I had this really awesome idea. Here's the tool. Will you give me $100 million for it? Nobody's going to say, okay.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because you got to grow. It's all about having that number of people that download and install it. And so I don't know. Did he sell the company or he just went bankrupt and he lost it? It went to zero.
I believe it just went to screw.
So how is he walking around buying expensive stuff in the movie?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm really not sure. I think there may have been other, like he alludes to other companies that he made in between Napster and Facebook. That may be where he made his money. They may have paid him a lot of money because there were people, like I said, funneling in hundreds of million dollars in investments into Napster before they shut it down. So he may have kept been able to keep some of the money as a, I don't know, fees. Or, I don't know, whatever it is, profits. I'm not sure. Even though they didn't make any money, as far as I know.
So how do they portray him in the movie?
Justin Timberlake portrays him as, I guess, like a kind of a party boy, but a guy who has really good vision of how to make something big, but he doesn't really seem to, like Mark Zuckerberg, be able to actually make something that will withstand whatever it is. Like Napster couldn't withstand the fact that it was a music piracy company, right? But Sean Parker seems to know how to make things big, but he doesn't know how to make them really work in the marketplace, I guess you would say.
I wonder about that because I don't know if people see it that way. I don't know if people see him as a visionary or a scumbag. I really don't know how they portray him, what the intention is. And the one line that I always think of is that they say, so Sean Parker comes to dinner, he impresses them all, he tells stories, and then he says a couple of quick things like, you know what's cooler than $1 million? $1 billion. And that's like supposed to be this, like he just closed the deal on selling Mark Zuckerberg on how cool his company was, and now he's going to be part of it. But also he says just drop the and it's just Facebook, it's cleaner. Now Andrew Garfield's character says that, and I almost think they're trying to make fun of Sean Parker, like what a fucking useless idea that is to say that was his biggest contribution to the company was to drop the word the. But I also agree with it. It was a smart move. And so then I'm like, well, what are they trying to say here? Are they making fun of him or are they calling him a visionary? And you're saying that you thought he was a visionary, whereas I don't know if people see it that way because the rest of the movie, he's just a bad guy who doesn't know how to do anything and all he does is weasel his way in. And then strong arm the good guy. Like you're clearly supposed to like Andrew Garfield's character and want him to succeed and feel like he got cheated out of the company and screwed. So you're supposed to see Sean Parker as just a evil, dumb guy. But you called him a visionary, so I don't know.
I think it's that he sees much farther than they can see, and maybe that's the benefit of having sort of been there before. But to your point, like he says, why think of a million when you can think of a billion? And he also says something, they say something like, we want to be in 20 schools. And he's like, I'm going to put you on two continents.
Right.
Like they're just thinking, oh, kids will do this. And he's thinking, like, no, we're going to put this all over the world. Like, I don't think they can think past the sort of let's scale this out to things that we can kind of conceive. Like, if it worked at Harvard, can work at Yale and it can work at Princeton and it can work at Texas, whatever, University of Miami, whatever it is. But he's more like, why think of that? Why think of just students? Think of everybody in the world, or think of students across the globe, and then they'll think of more students. And then instead of just having the American colleges, you can have it in different languages and different cultures and whatever it is. I think that's the thing, but he doesn't, like you said, he doesn't actually do anything. He's just the guy who comes in and says, don't think of it so small. Think of it larger. So in a way, he has a vision, but he's one of those guys who doesn't really, and I guess he did something with Napster, but he doesn't really help them in the sense of actually making the product. But he ends up with 7% of Facebook, which is a lot for seemingly just those little ideas, well, maybe little or big ideas that he has. So it does kind of give you I guess a picture of all the different people that you need in this movie to show you the difference between the guy who's sitting on a computer coding and the guy who's trying to do the business, like Eduardo, and the guy who's got the big ideas, like Sean Parker, and then the other guys who he stole the ideas from, who had little ideas that he made into better ideas. Okay, what else do you think? I think this is one of the funniest David Fincher movies. There's a lot of really great lines in it. It has to be pretty interesting because, like I said, it's just people talking. So they really have to have some quippy dialogue, which who knows if any of it's true. I'm sure some of the stuff in the depositions are. But it's I found it very funny when I watched it this time. I didn't remember being it that funny. It being that funny.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, I agree.
What else do you want to talk about?
No, nothing. We can call it.
Have you seen the Smashing Machine documentary?
No.
I suggest you watch it. You've seen the Smashing Machine movie.
Yeah.
I think you should watch the documentary.
Why?
I think you'll have a new, I don't want to say appreciation for the movie, but I think
Did you watch the movie?
yeah, I think it makes the movie, or both things really are interesting together.
Okay.
I haven't seen anything done quite that way with taking a documentary and making it into a movie.
And when did the documentary come out?
Early 2000s, maybe 2003, 2004.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll check it out.
I saw it. It was at the video store, and I was like, I'll watch it. And then I was like, oh, this is interesting, and in how it complements the movie.
Sure, I'll check it out. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have you seen anything good this week?
I don't know. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I definitely watched a bunch of stuff, but I don't remember.
What about Fallout Season 2? Have you started that?
Yeah, I've seen the first few episodes. It's okay.
It's okay. Is it as good as the first season so far?
It's not gripping me as much as the first season. I don't even know if I like the first season all that much either. It's okay. It's just an okay show. I watch it every week, but that's it.
Yeah, I'm interested in people that haven't seen, or sorry, people that haven't played the video games. Because I feel like every time I like something, I'm just like, I like that because it was in the video game. But I don't really care about the plot that much. But I'm like, oh, they got this thing, and that's funny. They got that thing, and no, it's these brands, and the TVs look the same.
Usually it's people that read the books first before the movie that have that kind of a reaction to something. But you don't usually. You have no problem watching reading a book before you re watch a movie. And yet for a video game, you're distracted the same way I would be if I read the book of something.
I guess for me, because the video game, like they're taking production design right from the video game. So you're like, oh, yeah, that thing looks exactly like it does in the video game, or that thing's a little bit different. Or that's kind of a nod to this thing that happened, and the music is the same and all that, right? And but then I'm realizing like maybe I don't even really like this show. Maybe I'm just looking for things that I've seen in the video game.
Yeah, I don't like the music. That's one thing I don't like at all in the show.
Yes. And that's one of the most, I guess, divisive parts of the video game is that in I think there's been five or six of these video games, and they all I'm pretty sure like 90% of the music is the same, especially the songs. And like you could turn them on and off, whatever. There's like a radio station or something. But yeah, that's one of the divisive things about the video game is people who either like the music or don't like it, or after hundreds of hours it gets annoying.
Oh, it's annoying.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. But I understand they gotta be faithful to the source material, so
Yeah, and
yeah.
it is very faithful in some ways, and then in other ways, I think everyone sort of that you play the games and you think, okay, this would be good to put in a TV show, but they don't put any of the plot from like the games into the show.
Did
So,
you ever see the show Love and Death?
no, what's that?
It's Elizabeth Olsen and Jesse Plemons
Okay.
movie from or TV show series, a mini series from a couple of years ago. It's on HBO. I liked it. I liked it. They have an affair, and that's all I'll tell you about it. I liked it though. Good show.
Did you just watch it?
I just watched it. Just came to
Okay.
mind. Yeah, never heard of it before. Heard of it last week, and then I watched the whole thing. It was very enjoyable.
Okay. That's a good thing to I'll watch out for that.
Primal came back last night. I'm excited about that.
What's Primal?
Primal's a cartoon.
Oh, with the dinosaur guy rides a dinosaur buddy.
Yes.
I saw the first season. It was excellent.
Yeah, wow, I can't believe I'd never even heard of it until last year, and then I watched the two seasons, and then I couldn't believe they decided to come back for a third season. It just came out last night.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm
And
gonna
I don't
have
know
to catch
why they
up.
put that guy's name, like he's a big deal, but they put his name up with the title, right? Get Gen
Turdikovsky.
Gendy Ten Turdikovsky or something. Yeah,
Yeah.
I don't know why his name matters, but it does to animation.
Oh,
We're
does it? Okay.
gonna run out of time, so why don't you tell us what we're watching next week?
All right. Let's see if we can find out. Shit.
It doesn't even
Headhunters.
matter. You can just text me.
Headhunters and Mystic River.
Didn't we just watch Mystic River?
We have never watched Mystic River.
Oh, I guess I just watched Mystic River.
Okay, not Mystic River.